and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
I'm Ron.
And I'm looking out the window at all the snow.
Oh, I'm not going to turn around. Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we're speaking with Kathy, who is a blogger, an author, and will be sharing her story and her diagnosis of multiple sclerosis on our today's show. Hello, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Kathy, hi.
Hi, hello. So happy to be here. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Oh, thanks for coming on. Let's start off by saying we've heard a lot about multiple sclerosis, but could you please give our listeners an idea of what this disease is all about?
Sure. It is an autoimmune disease, which means that your immune system is basically attacking itself. It's recognizing itself as the enemy.
Okay.
And in particular, with multiple sclerosis, it is attacking the nerves, and in fact, the myelin sheath, which is the fatty substance that encases the nerves.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have a lesion on your nerve, on the myelin sheath that is trying to eat through it and get to that nerve and ostensibly stop it. So, you know, that's obviously bad. And we work to do all that we can to keep it at bay. But it is central nervous system, so that is spine, brain, and optical nerves.
Okay. And what symptoms first led you to seek out a healthcare provider, Kathy?
Well, interestingly, I probably should have noticed this a long time ago because in retrospect, I can honestly remember things back to 1987, but this was in 2008 where I got up one morning and I had, you know, a good solid 8 hours of sleep, but I was so fatigued. I was just so tired. And I looked out the window and I couldn't explain what was different, but I knew there was something wrong with my vision.
Oh.
I assumed that this was like the onset of flu or something. And I had two little kids, so I assumed that fatigue was from them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I sort of downplayed it a bit for a couple of days, but my vision started doubling and my fatigue wasn't getting any better. And as luck would have it, I was working on a project for a local ophthalmologist. I do marketing. And I emailed him and I said, I'm so sorry. I'm going to have to put this project off. I think I have the flu. And I went in a little bit to what I was feeling. And he said, please meet me in my office tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. And that was my first indication that there might be an issue beyond the flu. So I went in and saw him and he did a very thorough examination and said, yeah, I can't tell you what this is, but I can tell you that you have sixth nerve palsy. That's a symptom. That is not an answer, but I can tell you you need to see a neurologist.
Oh.
So that started me on my path and, you know, had the, oh gosh, EMG and provoked potential tests and lumbar puncture, lots of blood work, MRI, because this, at that time, and even now to a certain degree, it is a diagnosis of exclusion. There really was not a test that could say, yes, in fact, you have MS. So they tested for absolutely everything else and then went, yeah, this makes sense, but now you have MS. We can label it MS. And honestly, I got very lucky because I had friends that were doctors that ushered me down this path. I talked to people all the time who it literally took years to get a diagnosis,
right?
Because particularly, there's several different types or subcategories of MS, and the type that I have and that which is most common is RRMS or relapsing remitting, meaning it sort of comes and goes.
Mm-hmm.
So as I alluded to earlier, when I look back, I had a lot of numbness, you know, all the way back to 1987, but it would come and go. So I just didn't really think that much of it. And so that's oftentimes why it was so hard to identify, because things would come and go, so people wouldn't get checked. Or the doctors would kind of say, well, you know, let's give it a little time. Or maybe it's a pinched nerve.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing that I thought. There was a pinched nerve in my back. That's why I couldn't feel, you know, something in my sheet, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy, can you tell us what type of treatments are out there for MS?
Yes. Well, for a very long time, there was none. around the time that I was diagnosed, again in 2008, there were three, and they were all injectables. Now there are 15, which actually I think there's more now because just in the last month we've had two more FDA approved here in this country. So we have oral medications, we still have the injectables, and now we have a couple of IV, which is very nice because they can be done like twice a year. So based on where you are sort of in your journey with MS, and I think to some degree probably lifestyle figures into which one is right for you.
Okay. And how about alternative therapies, you know, like acupuncture or...
Biofeedback,
any of those?
Yes, they're doing a lot of studies on all of those things right now. So most of it is just anecdotal, but I can tell you both from my experience, and I talk to a lot of MSers all day, every day, that things like acupuncture can be very helpful. And massage therapy, relaxation, stress relief, like you said, biofeedback. Stress is really awful, I think across the board for everyone, but certainly it's very correlative in MS. If I get under any kind of stress, and I mean mental or physical stress, I start seeing my symptoms come up. And as an example, if I'm feeling stressed out, like over work or something, I will see that fatigue start creeping up, or I'll have some pain or some numbness or tingling, that sort of thing.
Okay.
And it went physically, this is seemingly recently resolved, which is interesting. Again, it kind of comes and goes. But when I would, my heart rate would raise at all, I mean, even going up the steps, I would lose sight in my left eye for years.
Wow.
Yeah. But as soon as it calmed down, it would come back.
Wow.
Yeah. Very strange.
I imagine that must have taken a lot of time to get used to when things like that happen.
Yeah.
That is a total change.
That's a hard adjustment to make.
It really is. I think I'm very lucky in that, again, I had some friends that were doctors, and they really did a great job of explaining a lot of this to me. So I wasn't as scared. So when things happened, I sort of expected them and waited them out.
Okay.
I didn't, you know, sort of freak out and
right.
think.
That's important.
Oh, my gosh.
Knowledge is key.
It really is. It really, really is. But it's also very important to be careful where you get their knowledge. Because
Agreed.
There's so many
Agreed.
Bad sources out there that can really freak you out.
Right.
The other thing I just want to mention, too, that I've seen a lot in the last year is people are talking in the MS community a lot about CBD oil and marijuana, medical marijuana, and having phenomenal success, particularly with anxiety and sleep issues, which are both very common with MS. So I don't really have any experience myself, but oh my gosh, every single day I hear from people truly, and they're really finding great success. I haven't heard any downside. And again, purely anecdotal. There are many studies going on right now, but anecdotally, it sure sounds promising.
I actually have a good friend with MS. She's had since 1988 was when she was first diagnosed. We went to high school together, and I've seen her abilities decline through the years.
Yeah.
She uses marijuana quite frequently, and pain is not necessarily one of the things that she discusses.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So maybe it's helping the pain.
Yeah. That's what I'm hearing.
I have read that exercise could be particularly helpful. Are there
No question.
Okay. Yes. Are there?
I thought she said no.
Yeah, at first I thought she was going to stop at the no. Are there any forms of recreation that you use personally that assist in managing your MS?
Yes. For me, yoga has been phenomenal because it keeps, it helps with balance and flexibility, which as all of us age, that, you know, we all need help with that. But particularly with MS, that can be compromised. And focus. Again, going back to that fatigue that is very common among MSers. And something else that I didn't mention, but is awful and a lot of us deal with it. I call it cog fog, where cognitively we can just sort of get lost. And I find yoga really helps with that. Something I've tried recently that I would like to do more because I've really enjoyed it was Tai Chi. I don't know that much about it, but I really enjoyed it. Very, very slow, deliberate. I had to concentrate on it, so it kept my focus. So I could see that being really wonderful. And I personally like to walk. So I try and get outside, get that vitamin D, which we all tend to be very low in, by the way, and just move, just keep moving.
Kathy, I've read that with MS, symptoms might be exacerbated by an increase in body temperature or warm weather. Do you have to moderate your activities when it gets to be hot, or do you take that into account when planning your activities?
Absolutely. And interestingly, I think that's true pretty much across the board in terms of heat really bothering folks with MS. But I've been hearing, too, that cold really bothers some people. Oh, it does not bother me. You could put me in a bath of ice water and I'd be very happy. Thank you very much. But the heat really, and particularly for me, the humidity. And I live in Southern Virginia, and it is incredibly hot and humid here in the summers. So I basically live in air conditioning, and I utilize neck wraps and cooling vests, and I plan my activities based on, you know, I try not to be outside during the day, only in the evenings, or if I'm during the day, if I need to be outside, I try to make sure that, you know, I've got a spray water bottle with me. If I can be in the water, I'm much better. That tends to cool me down quickly, but that being mindful of our core body temperature is a constant with us, and being able to get it down as quickly as possible, because it can throw you into a full-on relapse. So we really have to be careful.
Kathy, do you have a support system in place? Do you have family or friends or online groups that you utilize when needed?
Yes, absolutely. I am incredibly lucky to have such a supportive family and friend group around me. My kids were 4 and 6, my two girls, when I was diagnosed, so they don't really remember mom without MS. And my husband, completely unflinching, which unfortunately, I think this is probably true across the, you know, spectrum of chronic diseases, but in MS, divorce rate is incredibly high. Spouses just feel like this is not something they can handle. My husband, it never flinched. I gave him an opportunity and said, I wouldn't blame you if you felt like you needed to leave. This isn't what you signed up for. And he said, are you out of your mind? This is what I signed up for, you know, for better, for worse, sicker, you know, in sickness and in health. So I got a really good one. I'm very lucky.
For you.
Yeah, and my friends are really great. And I, you know, I started this website, and so I'm online with MSers all day, every day. I'm trying to provide support for them, and in turn, they provide support for me. And I do have my own support group that I have gathered for once a month called the FUMS Positivity Support Group Meeting. So we just talk in positive terms and try and build each other up. So I am absolutely beyond lucky to be surrounded with great support.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, I was looking at some of your online support, and I'm kind of naive, and I said, what is this? I thought maybe it was like a play on the word fun.
And I was like, no, Mom, it means F-U.
Yeah, I said, what is F-U-M-S? It's kind of like funds, but yeah, okay. I got it. No, I got it after a while.
Yeah, it's how I speak to the disease, and I suggest everybody do that, because if you can put this thing in its place, in the right, even in your mind, if you can, you know, I envision it as the monster that it is, and then I speak to it, and I tell it to get behind me, because I don't have time for it. I say F-U to M-S. Now, for those folks who might be made uncomfortable by that, I tell them it stands for Fundamental Understanding of Multiple Sclerosis.
Okay, I like that. I
good
like
answer.
That. Good. Are there any Are there any new treatments on the horizon with MS? And actually, I'm kind of thinking in the lines of stem cells. I was thinking maybe they could, you know, use stem cells to cure the disease.
Absolutely. That, to me, is the most promising thing on our horizon, and honestly, I think for every disease. Mm-hmm. They're just finding such great success and learning so much by the research they're doing in stem cell. It is not currently approved here. There are a lot of studies going on, one in particular at Northwestern University by Dr. Burt. And so that translates to a couple of issues. Insurance won't pay. Mm-hmm. There's no regulation. So you will see a lot of advertisement for stem cell clinics that can, and I'm using air quotes, cure MS. And they're not regulated. Mm-hmm. And I am actually doing a series on my podcast about stem cell therapy and all the different types that are available for MSers and what they mean. And I'm interviewing different people who have gone through it. And other than the HSCT, please don't ask me to pronounce that. It's a big medical term. That's the one I was referring to at Northwestern, where it is ongoing research and they're having wonderful success there. Other than that type, it seems to me, with everyone that I've talked to, it's more a function of separating people from their money, unfortunately.
Oh, that's a shame. That's terrible.
Yeah. So I'm very hopeful for the real deal, mm-hmm. stem cell research, mm-hmm. and I hope that that continues on the path that it's going and that it will be one day FDA approved and then insurance will cover it and right. more doctors will do it and, you know, all of those things. But until that time, I just always caution people to really do their research and don't just drink the Kool-Aid because there's a lot of it out there.
Okay.
Kathy, I hear that you are an author and a podcaster as well. What can you tell us about that part of your journey with MS?
Yeah, well, I started FUMSnow.com, my website, in 2011, so 3 years after I was diagnosed. I did that because when I was waiting for my diagnosis, I got online like everybody does, and it was so horrible. Everything that I saw was just so depressing and just awful about MS. There was no good news. There was nothing that said that there was life after diagnosis. And so once I kind of got my legs under me with this diagnosis and figured out that there was, and there is a path to, you know, living a very good, healthy, happy, productive life with MS, I wanted to show people that I was able to do it and help them, in, you know, support them in doing it. So that's why I started the website. And then several years later, I'm a huge podcast listener. I just love podcasts. I just think they're so intimate and personal. You know, mm-hmm. you can just be in people's ears, and I always feel like I know everybody. When I'm listening to the podcast, I feel like I know them, and I'm such a fangirl. So I wanted to, you know, I was blogging at that time, which I think is great, but I just felt like this was more personal way of communicating with the audience that I had built up. So I started a podcast, and I just interview, oh gosh, other MSers, about their journey, you know, various experts. And like I said, I am doing a series on stem cell research. So I'll be interviewing, hopefully I'm keeping everything crossed, Dr. Burt. Mm-hmm. Right now I'm in the middle of a series on international diagnosis and treatment. So I'm interviewing MSers all around the globe to hear their diagnosis and treatment stories and healthcare the healthcare that they're offered in their countries, and it is so interesting.
Yeah, that sounds fascinating.
And in terms of being an author, one very common issue, kind of a category of issues for MSers is bowel and bladder issues. Mm-hmm. I am knocking on wood right now. I thankfully have not experienced any issues with that, but I kept getting so many questions about it. And as it turns out, one of my dearest friends is a pelvic floor dysfunction physical therapist.
Okay.
And P.S., I had known this woman for years and just knew that she was a physical therapist. I didn't even know what the heck that meant. But I mentioned that I kept getting all these questions, and she said, well, you know that's what I do, right? Well, not really.
There you go. So I was another asking, guest.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's phenomenal. So I was asking her the questions, and then I would relay them to these people that would email me. And I thought, well, this is not very efficient. Mm-hmm. So I asked her if she would write an ebook that we could make downloadable. And she said, well, I will if you'll write it with me. And I said, well, I don't really have anything to I don't have anything to offer here. I don't have any experience with it, and I'm not a medical professional. I don't. So she just said, well, I think you could make it funny, because I tend to find the humor in most things. I like to find the funny. And she said, this is not a very, you know, easily palatable conversation oftentimes. So why don't you just put in your kind of little aside? So that's what we did. And her part of it is in regular, I think, Times Roman black font, you know, and mine is in orange, which is the color of MS, and kind of a goofy font. So it's very good, solid medical advice, and teaches you how to do exercises and nutrition and everything for bowel and bladder issues and MS. But then there's, I always say she wrote the smart thinky part and I wrote the smart assy part, because there are my asides, yeah, in the book. So it makes it funny.
Good.
And if someone would like to pick up a copy of Bowel and Bladder Issues in Multiple Sclerosis by 2P Brains with Potty Mouths Talking Shit About MS, where can they get their copy?
That, I didn't want to say it. This is your show. I'm glad you're okay with that.
It's great.
All of these things are available on my website, which is fumsnow.com.
And you can tell that you have a background in marketing, because all of your products are just really lovely. We really
thank you.
Yeah, we really like your website and all of your products and goods.
Thank you, Kathy.
What additional tips, hints, or helpful advice do you have for our listeners, or for someone who's been recently diagnosed with MS? How can they get a hold of you? And how can they listen to your podcast?
Sure. All of the things can be found at fumsnow.com. My first line of defense that I suggest to everyone newly diagnosed is breathe. This isn't going to be anywhere near as bad as you're envisioning right now. Mm-hmm. And please join us on the FUMS Now Facebook page, which is facebook.com/FUMSNow, because we have a great community there. And you could sign up for the FUMS Positivity Support Group meeting, which is once a month. I have just recently started doing some one-on-one coaching of people. Mm-hmm. And I like to say that I'll give you a virtual hug when you need it, or kick your ass if you need it, whatever needs to happen. And I'm also on Twitter, FUMSNow. Apparently, I'm on Instagram, and I say it like that because I now have two teenage daughters that are helping me with this, and I don't know anything about Instagram. But the last thing I'll say about everything I've got going on with this now is that I am in process of developing a digital course and community called Patients Getting Paid, because I found out completely by accident that there's sort of this industry that exists for patient advocacy that actually pays, which kind of blew me away. So I'm writing articles for big healthcare companies, or I do some videos for some. There's just unbelievable opportunities out there. In addition, I'll teach people how to start their own website, start their own podcast, and find flexible work-from-anywhere positions through well-vetted, legit online recruiters for flexible jobs.
That's great.
Yeah, that's really wonderful.
That's wonderful. Very helpful.
Yeah, so that can, you can sign up for that. I cannot commit to when that's going to launch. Honestly, I was hoping to have it up by now, but, you know, having a chronic disease, it can dictate your life. So that's been slower than I had hoped. But it will. If you want information, just go to fumsnow.com/patientsgettingpaid, and you can sign up for the email list, and just as quick as I get that up and launched, you'll get an email announcing it.
Oh, that's awesome. Great. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you very much for taking the time to join our show today.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. And thank you all for the work that you're doing. I think it's phenomenal. We need Podcast DX.
Oh,
such good work.
Thank you
so much.
If our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com. through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on this podcast.
Till next week.